Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Let's go to our vision. And you know, I'm going to just give you a quick backdrop of what we've been talking about before we go to the vision. We've been talking about, last week we talked about lawlessness. Everybody say lawlessness. The Bible says in 1 John 3:3-4, lawlessness is sin. Lawlessness is sin. And it says in Matthew 24:10-12, because lawlessness is abounding, the love of many is growing cold. So lawlessness causes love to grow cold. This is the agape love. The agape love to grow cold. So now, the agape love, any time you hear the word agape, it's in reference to marriage. Always in reference to marriage. So it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, it says this, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. The agape love of the truth. So we're to be married to the truth. If you're not married to the truth, you're subject to really be deceived. Now it says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. The word perish doesn't mean lay down dead. The word perish means lack of discipline and lack of self-control. See that? That's what it means. With all unrighteous deception among those who have no discipline and no self-control, perish. This says they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, and just before that verse, in verse 9, it's talking about the lawless one, meaning the Antichrist. That spirit is already at loose in the world. It promotes lawlessness. That's why lawlessness is increasing in everywhere you go. Lawlessness is everywhere. Lawlessness isn't a religious word. It means willful disobedience to the authority of God. God's authority is established in His love. The agape love. The agape love. See that? We're the bride of Christ. He's the groom. He's coming back for His bride in the agape love. And you and I, the Bible doesn't say God loves. God is love, agape. So here's the idea. We've been talking about the flesh and how it tries to control us. And I want to read this to you real quick. And how it tries to get you into addictions, impulses, behaviors, alcoholism, all these things that try to medicate problems and struggles. This is why it is so important to train up a child in the way that they should go, to mortify the deeds of the flesh and to live in subjection to the control of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Now listen, you may not be an alcoholic or a drug addict, but please listen. Are you allowing your flesh to dominate your attitudes, your relationships? Are you giving in to carnal impulses of bitterness and anger, unforgiveness that the flesh wants to produce inside of you? When we give in to these impulses, they will destroy our relationships and make us hard-hearted and fill us with negative attitudes, listen, that steal our peace and our joy. Romans 14:7 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. You see, when you're not on top of this and growing and maturing in the love of God, you make yourself subject to your flesh to take you in a place of lawlessness. Life dominated by this flesh. See, you're supposed to display the kingdom of God everywhere you go. Everywhere. You're to be the express image of his kingdom, of Jesus. Now look, life dominated by the flesh is hard life, filled with excess, imbalance, self-abuse, laziness, hatred, strife, bitterness, irresponsibility, and neglect. The way of the flesh is hard for anyone to take. Yet the flesh cries out and wants to be in charge, demanding its own way. Unless we take the flesh to the cross and mortify it by the power of God, we can do that. The reason Jesus went to the cross was his love, agape. That's what held him on the cross for you and for me. And when we go through things and we're in the agape, we're being a true witness. We're helping others to come into the kingdom. You see this? Now listen. Your flesh will keep screaming until you surrender to it and allow it to produce decaying and deteriorating effects in your life. The only way that we can change our heart and affect this flesh is through the love of God, the agape. Only way. Are you hearing me? Now listen. The only thing that will really change our heart is love, agape. Those who truly love God and are devoted to doing what he pleases, anything but love, agape, will wither under the onslaught of lawlessness that is being released in our world today. That's why he says in 1 Timothy 1:5, the purpose of the commandment is to love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. The purpose of the commandment. What's the commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Everybody. We got to love people. We got to love people in a way we've never loved them before. You can't allow people to mistreat you and then you get an attitude. You see that? You can't allow people to deposit hatred in you because they did something to you. You see, when you're in the love of God, it protects you from that. Hatred can't get in you. See that? That's why Jesus told Judas, he said, go on and do what you have to do, but do it immediately. Do it immediately. What? Betray him. In other words, this betrayal doesn't have anything. I'm on a mission from God. I'm in the love of God. I'm here because of the love of God. And I'm going to fulfill God's plan and purpose for my life. You see, that's what God is doing in everyone's life that knows him and belongs to him. Back to the garden. He's trying to get us back to the garden. That's why it's repent, redeem, restore, refresh. All these re-words, back to the garden. He's getting you and I back to the garden. Paradise. God, you can have paradise right here, right now, when you are in his will. And that's what he wants. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants you in his will. Everything else is trying to take you out of his will. That's why you got to be intentional and purposeful about doing his will. The purpose of the commandment is to love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and his purpose. God takes a life that was purposeless. God takes a life that was purposeless and makes it purposeful. God wants you your life to be purposeful, full of his purpose. You see that? He works all things together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You see that? He wants you to be doing his purpose, not yours. And when we're about his purpose, we're in his will. And we're purposeful. And we get into a challenge, we're going to respond his way. You catching this? 1 John 3:8 says, the purpose of the Son of Man came He came to destroy the works of the devil. That was his purpose. That's your purpose. When you stand for Christ and you're a true witness, you're destroying the works of the devil in your life and in other people's lives. Because you're purposeful. You're full. Something else is trying to get in but can't because you're full. In 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8, it says this. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed to us by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who's abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, that's the good news of Jesus. His purpose. When we are in his purpose, it brings the life of God in our life. And now we're experiencing the agape life. That's the Zoe life, the life God created you for. Am I making sense? Look at your person next to you and say, you purposeful? All right. Let me keep moving here. All right, let's go to the vision, and then we're going to do the scripture. All right. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Thank you, Father, for your presence today. Thank you for all those who were baptized today. We thank you for all that you're doing in our life. We thank you for those higher northerners being here today. And Olivia visiting us is a surprise. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lift up. We got so much to be thankful for. All the mothers here, we thank you for them. Lord, we trust you. We trust you. Now speak to our hearts. Continue to lead us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, again, we lift up Ukraine and Russia. We pray for salvation. We pray for souls to be saved. Souls are being saved over there right and left. They're calling on your name. Lord, let that continue. Salvation in Russia and Ukraine. In Jesus' mighty name, we will trust you. Amen and amen. All right. Now, commit your way to the Lord. So we've been on this verse has been our foundational verse all year from January. And so commit your way to the Lord. Remember the word commit. It means Golgotha, and that's where Jesus was crucified. That's the Hebrew word for the word commit, Golgotha. And so Jesus was crucified on Golgotha's hill. Golgotha means the place of the skull. So our biggest battle takes place in the place of the skull. And Jesus won that battle because he was committed. You see that? Because he was committed. And the only way you're going to win the battle is if you're committed. If you're committed. He says, remember the word commit also means to roll away. To roll away. That means when camels would, they would be on a journey, their water would deplete, they would get down on their knees and they would roll all their gear and all their load off. They would roll it off. The word commit also means to roll away. So when you are committed, you go into your day, you go to God, and you'll roll away your burden and your problem. You give it to God before you even go out of the house. I know every one of you here have been doing that every day, and we're glad you're doing that. You do that every day, I know, right? You've been hearing this every week. So every day, we know you're doing that. Well, he's talking about that again? Uh-huh. Because we need to hear it again and again and again. Look, look, look. When you're committed, you'll go before God. You'll talk to him, and you give him your problem. When you give him your problem, your load, like the camel, you get down on your knees. Now you can go into the journey refreshed because you gave it to God. Now you go to work. When you go to work, your problem, your burden doesn't control you. Because the devil will have somebody there to assist you with your problem and your burden if you haven't committed it. You see that? And that's what he means. Commit your work to the Lord. In Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your works to the Lord, and he will establish your thoughts. Remember, the word established is the word fixed or prepared. It's like concrete. If the concrete is established, if it's fixed and prepared, you can back a Mack truck on it, and it won't leave an impression. But if it's not dried and fixed yet and established, it'll leave an impression that you can't remove. Did you get that? But when you're committed, other things aren't going to leave impressions on you. Your impression is going to be for Christ. Are you getting that? That's what God's calling us to. That's why the world is going the way it's going. God's looking for those who are committed. You hear me? Now watch this. This is huge. Let's go to Galatians 5:19. It's going to get heavy in here. We're glad you're here. Now the works of the flesh, remember we talked about the flesh a little bit. We've been talking about it. So, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. Oh boy, aren't you glad you came to church today? No, listen. This is huge. We live in a day when moral standards have deteriorated. Things that were considered sinful and shameful in one generation ago are now practiced in a broad and widespread manner throughout the church and our world. Rather than acknowledging their sin and repenting, believers try to justify it, and they try to justify their actions. You see that? But no matter how painstakingly Christians try to cover it up or dress it up, listen to me, God still sees it. God still sees it, sees sin as sin, and he hates it. What I'm teaching you today is not how I see it. It's how God sees it. And God wants you to see things his way. That's why he says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no revelation. The word revelation means vision. Where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. Or the people perish. No self-control, no self-discipline. But mine, the translation we use says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. Revelation means vision. Synonymous, same words. What's it mean? This is what it means in the Greek, to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. I need revelation in order to get the direction from God that I need to go. Then it also means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. When you're in a word church and the word of God is being prophesied over you, it's uncovering areas in your life. God's trying to show you that he's trying to redeem and get his love up in there so you can walk in his will and his ways in that area of your life. You see that? That's what he's doing. And see, when you love him, that's the way you want to go. That's called redemption. Deem. What God deems most important in life. He's trying to redeem our lives. I can't talk about this and not get excited. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. That word evident means manifest. They show up. Come. That means from the invisible to the visible. In other words, you think you're doing something everybody don't know. It's going to show up. It may not be tonight or tomorrow, but it's going to show up eventually. You still glad you came to this Mother's Day church today? Listen to me. This is huge. It's so important that we see it God's way. That's his goal. It's trying to get you and I to see things his way. When we begin to do that, freedom takes place in our heart. Anxiety dissipates. Worry goes away because we're trusting him. You see that? Now think about this. The word adultery, you ready for this? This is the word adultery. The word adultery and fornication is the Greek word porneia, porneia. Porneia. That's where we get the word pornographic. Adultery and fornication. Please pay attention. This word includes all sexual activity outside of marriage, including adultery and homosexuality. I'm not going to belabor that, but I just told you what it means. It's not how I see it. It's how God sees it. I'm rightly dividing God's word. All sexual activity outside of marriage is porneia. Please pay attention. When referring to a woman who has committed adultery, the New Testament uses the word pornos, P-O-R-N-O-S. Listen to this. This is where we get the word prostitute. It's quiet in this church. Listen, this is where we get the word prostitute. And it lets us know that a woman who has committed adultery has prostituted herself. She may not have sold herself for money. Perhaps she traded her heart, her body, her emotions for romance, for emotional support, or a variety of other things. Listen, but regardless of why she did it, God says she has sold herself and entered into the sin of prostitution. Now watch. This word describes adultery, a woman who has committed adultery. It leaves no room for doubt that God, in God's view, a woman who commits adultery has fallen into the sin of prostitution. She is a prostitute. She can come up with all kinds of excuses or reasons why this illicit relationship occurred. But the fact is, God views such a relationship as prostitution. He may have made listen to me. Now we're going to go back to this verse, but give me Proverbs 23. We're still talking about the woman, and I'm not picking on women. I'm just trying. We're showing you this because when you know this, see, here's the good news, the gospel. Remember. He made it. Now he has revealed it to us. Immortality be made revealed to us. It's revealed to us. The light of the gospel. The good news is all your sins can be forgiven. Present, past, future. And you can walk in God's purity and holiness. You catching this? And his will. Now listen. But it's growing process, right? Now think about this. Proverbs 20. Okay, here we go. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes. He's trying to get us to see what he sees. See that? That's why Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom. The word see in the Greek language means understand. Understand. If I'm going to understand this kingdom, I have to be born again, spiritually. In other words, some of you, if you haven't been born again, God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. All of us. When we're born again, sin separated us. David said, from your mother's womb, you were brought forth in sin and iniquity. See that? But God desires truth in your most inward parts. And he will make you to know wisdom. Psalms 51, verse 5 and 6. Now think about this. So here's the idea. When you're born again, because see, When we're born into the world first time, we're in contradiction to God, psychologically, sociably, physically, and spiritually. When we're born again, now his word calls us back to what he had to before we even showed up on the planet. That's why he calls us beloved. Beloved means before we were born. Loved, beloved. The love, agape, was before. You see that? And that's what he's getting you back to, so you can walk in that now and be the express image of God wherever you go. And give even your enemies mercy and grace. You see that? And it protects you. Stay with me. Now we're talking about the woman in adultery. Look at this. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. For a harlot, which is a woman in adultery, that's what that means. A harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait as for a victim and increases the unfaithful among men. Give me back to verse 27 there, Tim. Tim's my media man. Watch this. So, a harlot is a deep pit. Pay attention. And a seductress, a narrow well. Now, and it says, she also lies in wait as a victim and increases unfaithfulness among men. So the woman that's practicing adultery increases unfaithfulness. I've seen young people in this church living a good life, end up in a relationship with a man and start having sex. And they turn all away from God. Increases unfaithfulness. Turn away from God. I've seen them turn away and I haven't seen them. I've heard nothing but bad things about them. Am I making sense? I've seen people go to college, end up in a relationship, and it affects everything they're doing. It increases unfaithfulness. This text, this is God's text. He's text us. We all want a text today, don't we? We want to get a text from everybody but God. I want to get his text. Amen? Now watch what he says. It's the term Sheol. S-H-E-O-L. Talking about a woman in adultery. Sheol. You know what that's a word for? Hell. That practice. Remember? Who practice these things. Remember, the word practice means to teach. When you're practicing something, you're teaching it. You don't need a class when go in as an adjunct, you know, to teach. You don't. You're teaching it. Whatever you're practicing, that's what you're teaching. You're teaching your children, you're teaching everybody you're around. That's what you practice, that's what you're teaching them. Well, I'm into pornography, but nobody knows. Oh yeah, you're teaching them. Am I making sense?
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Say.